I'm here at the Kenya National Theatre, and I've just run into Michael, who's a university student here, and he's come along to the launching of Michaela Wrong's It's Our Turn to Eat. Tell me, what have you heard about the book already?
Okay, the book is talking about the corruption, the corrupt people. It's trying to outline how our government is corrupt. Okay, who foresees the corruption? They tend to be threatened. I mean, they just go far, far away from this government because they are fearing to be murdered. The main guy here is John Githongo. John Githongo moved from this country to London for fear of being murdered or assassinated. It's good whenever we foresee anything in our government, let's not hide it. Let us put it on limelight so that people can know.
Tell me, it's been reported that some people have had difficulties getting copies of the book here in Kenya. Have you tried to get a copy of the book? Have you read it yet?
Okay, at first, accessing the book was hard. I mean, government was trying to pull people away from the book because they don't want to be known whatever they are doing. And that is very bad. Imagine 47 billion shillings getting lost in a country whereby we can't feed ourselves. We have had 10 million people are on the brink of starving. And here we have a government misusing 47 billion shillings.
You're a student here. How much is corruption in the Kenyan government discussed among other students? Do you talk about this often?
Yeah, we do talk about that. Even sometimes we do go around protesting, but what's the response from the government? They send some anti-rioting police to beat us, to tear gas us. I mean, we are harassed when we protest when corruption occurs. So we act as watchdog for the government, we students.
And tell me, what were the discussions among students here after the violence following the election?
Okay, our discussion was coming to terms with the event itself. Students they had brought that thing of tribalism amongst themselves. So we had to fight tribalism, we had to shun tribalism. So our first thing was to shun tribalism before we attack the government.
Let's go and listen to the launch.
I'd like to call this place to order and we shall get started right away. You know, before December 2007, I was able to make some jokes about some people in Kenya and no one would take it offensively. I would talk about the people of Kenya, I would talk about the diversity of this country, I'd talk about, you know, let me call them stereotypes. And this is how we're going to do this. I'm going to recite a joke I recited in 2007. And I want to see how this is going to go down with all of us. If you think Kenyans are strange, just think about what makes up Kenya. Some people want to describe us as a collection of tribes, and that's why I'm going to go around the country. I want to see, if you think Luyas are strange people, give me a round of applause. Come on, afikiria wa Luya ni majamaa wa ajabu. Kwa sababu Kenya ni nchi ya ajabu. Kama unadhani wa Luya ni watu wa ajabu, nipigie makofi. You just need to watch 9 o'clock news. It's only Luyas who have continually provided us this country with comedians from pre-colonial era to the MPs that came after the independence. Until today, we've got Luya comedians in parliament. Let's talk about some really strange characters in Kenya. Wakikuyu wangapi wako ndani ya nyumba? Man, if that applause came from this side, you need to shift your hand back from that side and bring it this side. Let's do this again. How many Kikuyus are in the house? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not Kikuyu, this is a language you must learn. It's the official language of business in Kenya. You have to learn this language. There are some words that were originally English, and they are now officially Kikuyu. Words like, by the way. By the way, gyukaha kuga microphones ciothe ikorwo ihana ino riu ndirona ngiheo kimurenge ti haha by the way I'm appointee by the way I'm appointee like Obama I'm a half caste like Obama I'm part Kikuyu and part Kamba Cucumber Kikuyu Kamba O God of all creation, bless this, our land and nation. Justice be our shield and defender. May we dwell in unity, peace and liberty. Plenty be formed within our borders. Amen. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, International PEN defends free expression across borders. Defending literature throughout nations and defends individuals who speak freely. And we know that it's free expression is our basic human right. Like Wangari Maathai gave a speech last week in Oslo in the Free Expression Global Forum, and she connected free expression a little bit with environment, but we need to connect it more. I think we need to notice, and we do as poets, that when we fight the way we fought after the vote in 2007, the crops dry up, the rain doesn't fall. Horrible things happen. I have written on my hand, no corruption. I don't need it. I don't need to see it written in offices. This is a corrupt-free zone. It's oftentimes a lie. Corruption is about you and I. Are we going to sign that thing that will be sleaze, or are we going to say no to signing it? I have, with a little pain, written also on my hand, gladly, no tribalism. But when my son was writing these words on my hands, he asked me, Mommy, is it possible to stop tribalism? And I said, just write it there. In fact, put three no's. No, 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 no tribalism. In the book, you'll meet people you know, Kwamchetsi Mukoha, Caroline Motoko, so many people that you can actually see today. So we are full in this hall because I think, without any doubt, we are on the right side of history, a history of courage. Read the book, those who bought it. Ask your friends to read it.
It's very interesting, he mused. They haven't cut off my steakhouse phone yet. My safe in the phone. My safe in the office hasn't even been opened, and my secretary is still at her post. It's their way of telling you that you can still go back, I suggested. They're saying, it's not too late, the lines are still open. Yet, even by that stage, I had begun to recognize that the continued signs of stress in the big men, his mental fatigue was evident in his tendency to tell me the same things over and over again. His sentences were like ripples on the surface of a pool. They gave a hint of the thoughts churning obsessively in the depths below. I could guess what those might be. How on earth had it ever come to this? Was this the right path? Where did he go from here?
In the wake of Al-Qaeda's 1998 bombing of the US Embassy in Nairobi, Washington had been pressing Kenya to upgrade its passport system and better monitor its borders. The highest bid for that tender had been made by De La Rue, a British company, for $10 million, the lowest by Fast Technologies. Face Technologies, an American firm. What was strange was that the tender had gone to neither. A payment voucher showed that central bank down payment to a British rival called Anglo Leasing and Finance Company Limited. This contract, which had never been put to competitive tender, was a bloated market thing. For one thing, it was worth $34 million, nearly 3.5 times as much as the lowest bid made back in 2002.
Some people do fear some charges being pressed against them for selling this book. And it would be unfair for us to stand up here and just read the book. I think it would only be in order for us to have a discussion, or sort of a discussion. And that's why at this point, before I call up the next reader, I'd like to ask a question to us. And my question that I would like to raise out of the two readings that we have read, is John Gethongo a hero, or is he a betrayer?
He's a betrayer of the corrupt networks. That's all I see.
My name is Christopher Okemwa. I would like to say that you only become a betrayer if you have been a part of that deal. But in this case, I would like to say that he is a hero. Thank you so much.
My name is Asiala. I think he's bold. For the fact that he was able to be so steadfast in telling us all that he blew the whistle, he is a hero. But I still feel that there is more that he needs to tell us. We haven't seen the end of it. So I think for that, he kind of betrayed us because he didn't give us all the information we needed.
If Githongo thought Kenyans were being duped, there was corruption that was rampant, and he being part of the system and knowing it, by going back to Britain, actually telling us what was happening, wasn't much enough. He was supposed to actually mobilize us, tell us what was being done, get the system that is running around and tell us where we should have gone to get that thing done.
He is a hero. He said he should have done it in Kenya. Being a hero does not necessarily mean facing up to the fight. Sometimes it's walking away and doing the right thing. And what he did, going abroad and saying what happened, I think is the right thing, and that makes him a hero. It doesn't, you don't have to die to be a hero. Sometimes save your life and save the rest of your life.
In a system where there has been trust in him by the people who think that he's their kinsman, who believe in him to a point of entrusting him with very, very critical things. In that sense, he is a betrayer. But that betrayal is what makes John Githongo a hero. Being able to stand up for what is right in the middle of everything that is wrong, that makes him the world's and Kenya's greatest hero I saw in my age.
For me, he's not yet a hero, or maybe he has not yet been a traitor until he delivers a new government of the people.
Thank you. Tell me, what would Wananchi do with 70 billion Kenya shillings? You think?
70 billion Kenya shillings. I think 70 billion Kenya shillings can mop out all young people in Nairobi who are jobless in Mathare, Korogosho, Kibera, all over, and build a modern highway road from Nairobi to Kisumu.
John Githongo is a hero whose confidence is misplaced for one reason. Beside that, you realize when people steal money in Africa, they take it to invest it somewhere in Europe, or European governments just come together with leaders in Africa who like to steal money. So I believe if somebody steals money and we have a hero like John Kiton, it will always run to the same people who collaborated with the same guys in Africa to steal money. Heroes in Africa who want to disclose syndicates in Africa will always have nowhere to run to, because I believe you cannot collaborate with people so that you can also provide us with asylum, political asylum. So I believe he's misplaced altogether being in Europe, and I believe he's a hero at some point, but he's misplaced where he is.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And here's a poem, and the poem is Clapping for Botany.
This poem is not written by myself. It's written by someone in the audience. And he found me outside and said, don't even mention my name. But if you consider this poem worth reading, please read it to the people. I consider it immensely worth reading, and so I'm going to read it to you. But before I read it to you, I'll tell you, I'm not interested in going to the Kenyan Parliament. I am not. I cannot. I cannot. Even when now the people in Kiambu are calling me again and again, it is you we needed. It is reform we needed. And you had the right message. We made a mistake. I know the billionaires who live there. I know the lovely, disenchanted young men who have now joined militias to protect themselves. They also want to go to parliament. We have to resolve this puzzle. What is Kenya going to be? Gasheke, Bunge la Mwananchi. We were yesterday seated in Mathare, and women told us there, uchungu. They are crying, pain, uchungu. Then she explains to you what it means to be a single mother. And beside us, we can hear the music going on in a pub, a tin shack, women screaming, men screaming. In the same breath, you are being told about girls who have just been defiled. And they are asking us, is it possible to live like this? What is government? Where is government in Mathare? So I think John Githongo might be a tragic hero in a sense. The book says so. But I think we need more John Githongos outside Kenya's parliament. I think the Kenyan parliament should sink. And when we throw the manure on top and change the system, then Esther Passaris, KJ, and others can go there. But for that to happen, some of them need to stay outside. And I don't know why I'm subjected to one chief in my village, so that if he's bribed, everything is over. When the little girl is defiled, the chief is bribed. The chief bribes is bribed by the parents. The issue never comes out. I think we needed about six chiefs. We don't need one councillor. What is that? Who is a councillor? What do they do? Who is your councillor? I don't know. I think we are living in a world of make-believe. What was that budget? The women in Mathare say, what was that? 31 billion? Trillion? Anyway. And when I go there, they ask, that woman is at Jerry. Yeah, she's popular. Jerry, kumu heke. Jerry, nakunde wow. Who is Jerry? Who's is she? I mean, which royal family of the Kenyan mafia does she belong to? What is that? You will see how loudly she will fall when she falls. But this is Kenya fighting corruption. They say we are fighting corruption. Even paying someone Kenya shillings, 2.5 million per month to do it. And in a country where 70% live at under shillings, 4,000 per month. Some less. Yes. This is Kenya. The corrupt are recognized, feted, adored, and even said to be smarter. Wajanja. The good are unrecognized, despised, and thought to be foolish. Wajinga. Yes, this is Kenya. I say Goldenberg, and instantly you all remember Patni. I say Munyake, and you all ask, who? I will tell you who Munyake was. David Munyake, to be exact, was. He worked at the central bank, but valued his integrity, not the center, integrity more than the money in the vault. Instead of asking for the expected million shilling bribe, he blew the whistle on the billion shilling scam. For that, he sacrificed everything, and I mean everything, including his life. For daring to be different, he died a pauper with his integrity intact. I can hear you thinking, but some are saying, how stupid, what the hell, wish it was me, etc., etc. Yes, he was so good, really, that's what I want to hear, so honest. But should we say so un-Kenyan, right? Yes, this is Kenya. Be clean, get vilified. Be corrupt, get celebrated. Yes, painfully, this is Kenya.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
First of all, I want to start by saying that as young people, as young writers, we need to document our own stories. But then I have a question. How do we document our own stories when you go to an established traditional publisher in Kenya and they reject your work? I'll tell a short story, maybe 5 minutes. I've lost some jobs because maybe I was being sexually harassed, or there was corruption going on and I didn't want to take part in the corruption. I remember a while back, I had a small baby, my daughter was around 2 years old, and I was harassed sexually. So when I remember I talked to my dad and I told him that I was going to quit the very following day, but I'd been working for like a month. And then my dad asked me the reason. Then I told him that my boss was harassing me sexually. So my dad was like, he did what? And I repeated. So he kept quiet. The next day, he came to the office. And he told the man that was going to beat him up if he dared touch me again or do anything to me. But then I realized after a while that I was a writer. And my writing is a form of self-therapy. And then I realized that my dad won't fight for me always, and he won't stand up for me always. So I started writing and documenting my experiences as a single mother, going through many tribulations and trials. But what I'm saying is this. In a span of 5 years, I went through the same experience again twice or thrice, corruption plus sexual harassment. So I write it down, and then you go to a publisher. They look at it, and then they tell you that some reject without giving you a reason, but then some get back to you and tell you this is the reason why we can't publish this book. We are going to be sued, and we don't have 50 million if you're going to be sued by these characters. I'm going to read from chapter 6, page 94, the second paragraph. A new approach was needed. On 20th May, he was summoned to the Justice Minister's office. Go easy, Kiraitu urged once more. When John's response was uncompromising, Kiraitu revealed his hand. Opening a drawer, he pulled out a file he said had been given to him by Mr. A.H. Malik. That name was familiar. Malik was a Nairobi lawyer who had loaned John's father money in the 1990s, when John Githongo planned to develop a piece of land on the outskirts of the city. It was one of his father's worst business moves. He had been unable to repay the loan. Malik had gone to court. The court had found against Joe and the dispute festered on. What had any of this to do with John? The money loaned to his father, Kiraitu claimed, had not come from Malik at all, but had originated with Anura Pereira, the Cypriot businessman behind a suspect project deal. So John's father was in Pereira's debt, but Pereira, Kiraitu said, would be happy to settle the dispute amicably so long as John agreed to turn off the heat. John said, blinking, struggling to digest the implications of this conversation. The man entrusted with Kenyan justice, who he had regarded until now as an ally in his war on graft, had just tried to blackmail him. Having failed to sway John with threats, smears, and appeals, the establishment had resorted to the most cowardly of routes, trying to get at him via his father. He struggled to conceal his anger and disgust. Let the real principal show himself, he told Kiraitu curtly, and I'll deal with him directly.
T.S. Eliot's Macavity, the Mystery Kite. He likes to be in transit and is partial to hotels. He has a place in Manchester, but is fond of the seashells. So when the nation's revenues is in European banks, or you need a team of tractors, but acquire a troop of tanks, or the nation's full of caviar, but does not have any bread, or you want a road for Christmas, but a frigate comes instead, you can look behind the scenery or stare up in the air, but the ministers will yell and tell you that Macavity is not there. Thank you. During that year, I was quite upset with him because, as you all know, and you've seen today, he is one of our most brilliant comic minds. And I kept telling KJ, where the hell are you going like into politics? That's like a sewer pipe. It's full of shit, and you're a genius. You don't put cream, you know, in the sewer. You know, and I was like, the country needs you more like in ridiculous and keeping us laughing. And, you know, and then what happened, happened. And I began to realize, because I'd only said, I just want to be a writer, okay? Actually, that's all I want. And I agree with Philo, I just want to be a writer. But I was like, you know, it's sort of hard to write in a country where genocides are about to go on and so on and so on. And that's the one and only reason, you know, that we are doing this, at least for me, that I joined Philo, president and company then. I was like, because, you know, sometimes when you leave things up to other people, when you leave the sewer pipe to run, one day it shows up in your coffee.
Hey! Kepta Ombati. Where did you show up from?
Good people, good evening to you. Kenyans and the friends of Kenya, good evening to you. I just want to make one suggestion. Just sitting there, listening to this fantastic cast here, going through this book, I just realized, and also looking at the audience here, I just realized the power there is within the town hall meetings. If we could convert this into readings on the road, probably take them from the National Theatre, take them first to the 8 constituencies within this city, and then take them from Nairobi to the countryside. I think there is a tremendous power in this book. Much as Okoiti says that it is not our story, just hearing the account of what transpired, just sitting there listening was making me boil within. And I think that there is a need for Kenyans to boil from within, to rebel against that. I want to suggest to you that, in fact, anyone who's telling us that we should wait until they win an election and get into parliament or get into any other positions of power in order to change this country is a liar. Change will not come from within the corridors of power. Our history has no evidence that supports that people change can come from within the corridors of power. Change comes from outside and is imposed on the leaders in spite of their will.
I am about to bring up on stage, in my mind, is no doubt a hero. He's young, but he's done stuff. When Kenya was burning, this guy was out there with his camera capturing images. This guy has got an extra eye, and his eye is the lens. He documented Kenya at its worst. Ladies and gentlemen, for that, he was awarded Journalist of the Year by the CNN. But he did not stop there. He's formed his own outfit. He's out there doing his thing as a photojournalist. But the last time you saw this guy was through a lens that wasn't his. Boni Mwangi was out there on Madaraka Day, and he was asking them to vuka. You know what vuka is? Do you know what vuka is in Kenya? Let me tell you. There are people who are here. Now I'm talking like a Kenyan. There are those of us who are here, and there are those who are there. Those ones who are there are asking those ones who are here to vuka. And those ones who are here are asking those who are there to vuka. But there's one man in Kenya who tells us to stay where we are. Tukae pare pare. Sio pengine, pare pare. Na tukae na stairo hiyo. Stairo gani?
That is our president.
Now Boni Mwangi was out there asking those guys to vuka. He was bundled into a police van. No one knows where he was taken, but he's right here with us. And he's making our third reading. Kindly welcome on stage, Boni Mwangi!
I think if it was Kibaki, Kidongo is he a hero or a traitor? Kibaki would say Kidongo is a pumbavu because it is corrupt. We live in a very corrupt country. Corruption is not of the day. As Kenyans, we send crooks to parliament. The guys that we elect are tribal warlords. Every 5 years, the guys that we send to parliament are the guys who have stolen from us. At this particular time, the justice minister in our country is President Moi's former lawyer, Mutula Kilonzo. He helped Moi steal and hide the loot away. How can he recover what was stolen from our country? Seriously. Change that you want. Kibaki is not going to change this country. No Raila is going to change this country. Those guys in parliament are not going to change this country. It's a grand coalition. and they are united in stealing and they are looting. The same tactics they used 5 years, 2 years ago to make us fight on tribal lines, and the same thing tactics they're going to use 3 years to come down the line. So we have a challenge that as young people of this country, we have to say enough is enough, because our country is burning. They are telling us Lake Nakuru is going to dry up in 5 years. Mau Forest is burning. The squatters in Mau are not squatters. It's the Gideon Moyes and the politicians in this country. They allocated themselves that land and sold it. They are actually auctioning our future. We have no future, young people of this country. We have no future. We have a challenge because these guys go to parliament and they steal. And when they steal as individuals. Kereto Murungi is in the book. Moraria, Kibaki, Jimmy, all those guys, they steal. And they steal, but when they are attacked, we saw that Uhuru with the error. He goes back to Gatundu and says, oh, there, my tribe has been attacked. It's not your tribe being attacked, it's you as an individual. There's no way we can let these guys own this country, run it down, auction everything, and then what are we going to be left? Then they can flee the country, go to Europe, get asylum, or go and buy a villa somewhere, or go to Zimbabwe and live with Mugabe. Where are we going to go? We are not willing to pay the price. We come here and discuss this book in comfort. We talk about the book, Bidongo is a hero. We talk about him and how he did these big things. And then we go home. We don't do anything about it. When the country burns, we watch it on TV. But guess what? In 3 years' time, when the country burns, we'll all suffer.
The redeemers are not in the corridors of power today. It will not happen in Kenya. I will never stop quoting this Nairobi kiosk owner. This kiosk owner said, people in this country are like meat for hyenas. The only question is, which hyena do you prefer to be eaten by? Hyena Raila, hyena Kibaki, or hyena Musyoka? Whichever it is still a hyena coming to eat you. When you go home, tell a story to those people you stay with. Talk, get together, celebrate your own thing as family. Eat what you usually eat, but discuss Kenya. Discuss the next election, but also discuss this revolution. This revolution is actually here. Love your country. Hey, Gray, don't tell me. If I wear my country, I put my body where my words are. Come along with me. Let's put our body where our words are. Love must come before violence. Let's try and unite. Let's get there. It is possible.